Thank you, Pastor Keith. Is it okay if I take my jacket off? I was getting hot, and now I'm even getting warmer. I'm a hot oak, didn't you know? So awesome to be here. Thank you. Some of you might remember me. Some might have run away. I know sometimes I'm peculiar. But then again, prophetic people are most often peculiar, and I'm just on fire for the Lord. It's so awesome to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I've brought something along for you. So I hope gold is your color. That's for you, Pastor Keith. It is just something from our men's day. It's just to honor you as well and to say thank you. So obviously there's an exchange of gifts going on here tonight, and I hope you will enjoy it, or that'll decorate your office. I just need to get my glasses on. Are we good? Okay, I'm going to start with something weird, so don't laugh. You need to take me serious. I've got a smile on my face because I'm happy with what's going to happen, okay? And I'm happy with what I'm seeing in the Spirit. Well, you can't be unhappy when the Lord shows you things. So I've just got to take a second or two to gather myself, because some of you have heard me say, or those that come to my groups as well, that my son-in-law, my daughter know as well, I'm driving the little red polo that I bought for my daughter when she left school to go and study. And now I'm driving it many years later. But when I get moving in the Spirit like this week and getting ready for tonight and coming here, unfortunately, it's only a 1400. And it can't keep up with the angels. So if you ever want to pray for me, just ask for a Ferrari or something like that, or a Lamborghini. I'm serious, because I start praying in the Spirit in the car, and the next thing, my foot feels like it's going through the bottom of the, and then that little 14 nuns go, woo, and then I'm putting my booster on by switching my aircon off. Awesome. The Lord gave me this word while we were worshiping. 1 Corinthians 2, from chapter 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I'm going to read just the first portion again. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I want to challenge you, as the Lord was speaking to me there, is what value do you put to yourself? The challenge goes further to this, says, the Lord challenges you tonight to ask you, what do you think is the value and the investment of eternity? When you and I can begin to comprehend what eternity is and the value that holds everything that is God's glory, we will forget about the issues of life. And we will step into the victory realm. Okay, that wasn't part of the sermon, but I think it's really appropriate. So let's get going. I've got quite a bit to do. Where's that clock? There you are. Oh, thanks. Oh, it's a smooth top. Let me put some, what's that grip stuff on you? How are you, young man? I didn't see you come in. Hey? Was it you that kept your dad busy tonight? This is your victory conference, okay? And I'm going to speak on just on victory, but I'm going to give you some pointers. Before I get going, I'm going to, put myself in some hot water here. This week, Pastor Keith has stirred me up, not only because the season that we're in, who knows about 5779, the change of the calendar, the Jewish New Year, I don't want to get into all of that stuff, but some people obviously follow it, and I have this year, and I'm going through a process. I think it's the fourth day into this new year. Just the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement, and I decided as well just to, you know, I'm not fasting, but I've separated. I've tried to be as quiet as possible, also after what happened that you know about and some other people know about. And I was just chatting, you know, obviously in prayer and that to the Lord, preparing for this weekend, and I got excited because suddenly my spirit just running away with us. What is victory? What is victory? I think we've got a very one-dimensional tone about what victory is. And I've written at the top, is I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble. You know, I've written some devotionals and they about to go to publishers and all that. But I've undertaken in my heart, purposely in my heart, if it's okay with you guys, because it's your theme and it's your church and it's your conference, but to write a 21-day, it might even be 40, but a 21-day devotional on victory, based on what I'm going to share with you tonight and whatever happens this weekend. And when that is done, I willingly give it to you as your church, and to print or to distribute or to do whatever. And maybe it can just be a little workbook, a prayer book, whatever you want in the future that would remind you of this. Okay? Is that cool? All right, so now we're going to do this. Who went to school? Who remembers the... You didn't. Okay, I thought it was only me that couldn't add it. Always when I go into Pick and Pays or places like that and they ask for change or money, I say, like, or the bill at a coffee shop, I say, please add up the tip and the bill for me because I didn't go to school. And then they're like, hey. So it's just like a talking point. Do you remember war cries at school? What do they call them in Afrikaans? How much? Yes, what? Oh, okay. All right. We won't go there. All right. So we're going to do this. I remembered one when I was preparing this week that goes, V-I-C, V-I-C, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory, victory is our cry, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Do they still do that? Yes. I thought maybe mine 30 years ago in school was maybe boring. So I want you to get up and sing it with me because I want to get the fire going in you. It won't take long and then we'll get going. Okay, so 1, 2, 3. V-I-C, V-I-C, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Come on. V-I-C, V-I-C, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Woo! Ah, Chaton, Jilla, come on, sit. Just to get you going. All right, so let's just define victory so that we're all on the same page. Because as I said, you know, many people got a very one-dimensional view of it. The overcoming of an enemy or antagonist. Antagonist, in person that would come against you in any manner, means that is contrary to your wellness, okay? The achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulty. Who has had some odds or some difficulties in their lives, okay? I think we can use harsher words than that, but we won't yet tonight, all right? A success or triumph over an enemy in battle or war, an engagement ending in such triumph, the ultimate and decisive superiority in any battle or contest. Most often there is a cost or a sacrifice to claim and enjoy the victory. That is from the dictionary. That's from my interpretation. Okay, that I took off Wikipedia or whatever you call those things. I would define this as mine. I want you to listen carefully. And perhaps take tonight and how would you define victory for yourself? What does it really mean to you? I would define victory as the evidence of completing a challenge which would cause me to move forward, to prosper, and to be purposefully positioned for the future of my life aligned with eternity. All right? Victory is also growth. Victory equals growth in that it is about maturity, it is about character, and it is about the manifest authority relevant to my and your journey and salvation in Christ. How many know that you have been given the authority? Okay? That you have power. the dunamis, the exousia, the executing power of the authority of Christ Jesus on this earth. So victory is also in communion with God, that secret place of the Most High, and is an intimate relationship fueled by integrity, filled with love, and pursued by common value, which is intentional to manifest covenant. I'm going to read it again because the last word in the sentence is the key. But to get there, okay? Victory is in communion with God, the secret place of the Most High, and is an intimate relationship fueled by integrity, filled with love, and pursued by common value, which is intentional to manifest covenant. Victory surely is an intentional action to manifest the desired outcome, okay? So if we look at the definition of victory, it must have a desired outcome. Why would you want victory if you didn't want a result? Victory must carry a result, and a result only happens from an action, okay? So if we're wanting a result, we have to do something about it. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. Yeah? All right. So here we get into the details of tonight. Ask yourself, what do you as a person understand victory to be, and what role or place does it take in your life? What is that word or that victory as perception? What does it mean to you? What role does it have in your life? What function? Do you think of victory every day, or is it just something that you think of perhaps when you want to get promotion? Maybe you're on a squash court, on an athletics track. Maybe you're out there somewhere, and victory only manifests in a competitive environment. If that is victory to you, it's not wrong, but then you've missed the boat, because there's a lot more to simply a competitive environment when you look at victory. All right, so we can approach the subject in different ways, but I want to use various sets of scripture, but also I'm going to give you 10 points. Okay, this is not a 10-point plan. It's just I've written down things, and I'm just going to kind of expand on them a little bit, and hopefully those 10 points will give you an unction about victory, even if it's just the foundation from this weekend for your life to go into the future and see what is happening in your life and what you want to do. All right, let's be reminded that a war is won through several battle victories. A war is never won on its own. There's battles that are fought. There are many, many actions that happen until the war is won. Okay, very key to note. We're going somewhere with this. I'm just getting the foundation in place. Fact that a trophy, a league, division, or a series is won through several matches. Have you ever won a trophy, a league, or a division on the fact that you've played one game? Nasporta said the Curry Cup is not won in September. What? Now it's moved to like November or something because the rugby things are different. Sorry, Nas. Promotion comes with time as we learn and mature. Just like war has got battles, maturity brings promotion. Okay, many people like, gimme, 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 gimme. But they ain't ready. We all want, we're in a culture, that instant culture, especially in our nation at the moment, is everybody is making demands, but no one is ready to actually fill the role that they are demanding. There is a time and place for all things under the sun, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. Every day as we rise from our sleep, we have victory in life, and we have the capacity and opportunity to walk and live in victory. I hope you think that way. Every single day that you open your eyes in the morning, there's already a victory in store for you. The mere fact that you have stepped into the day means you have got the opportunity to do something. That is a victory in itself. And it's not about a competition. Maybe you're competing with your sleepy eyes or you're with your lack of warm bed in the winter. I'm glad summer's coming now because I'm a bit thin, you know. It's like, I must buy like a man-sized teddy bear to keep me warm. But those that you have to plug him in because I bought one. Oh, this is a secret, okay. Long time ago. But it fitted in the microwave. It was like a bean bag, but it was a teddy bear. I used to stick it at my feet at night. And like, then you get cold, and suddenly it's cold. It's like, where's this little bear? Let me go warm him in the microwave again. All right, we can find strength and encouragement in the Word of God. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We often use that scripture, but we never put it in context. Paul talks here about through any situation, abuse or luxury, good fortune, bad fortune, issues of life. And I mean, Paul really went through things. He says, I can do all things through Christ. So he's saying, you can have victory. You can have a good result no matter what the situation is. Okay? And we whine and we moan as like things, oh, it's too cold. Oh, no, my teddy bear's not warm. All right? John 16, 33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I wrote in here later this afternoon to my notes, life may be a struggle, but life is beautiful. Maybe that was just for me. Every day is a struggle. But my goodness, now with the spring coming and that coolness of the snow that came over, and just before that there was some rain here up in Joburg. I don't know if you got some, we got some that in the Little Falls area, and suddenly everything was clean and fresh. You wake up and then, stupid bird, twing, 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 at like 5:30 in the morning. And I don't get up at 5:30 unless I have to. You know, a lot of people think that's weird, but I don't need to sit in 2 or 3 hours of traffic, so... But I'm also realistic. I serve a God that doesn't sit and look at a watch and say, I want you 4:08 at work. Yeah, 4:08, 4:08. You know, he looks at my heart, but I normally get up at 6 o'clock. Summer, it's normally a bit warm, so a bit earlier, but winter, that's typically time. But at the moment, it's just so beautiful. Jesus gives this revelatory assurance close to the time of his persecution and crucifixion. He said this before he went to the cross. Okay? Moments before the greatest conflict on earth, he passes on a message of the assurance of victory. I have overcome. He hasn't done anything yet. Okay? No disrespect to him in his earthly form. He did. He ministered and all that. He did miracles and that. But he had not gone through the persecution yet. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He wasn't resurrected yet. Yet he said, I have overcome. Okay, but look at it from a prophetic point of view. Moments before the greatest conflict on earth, he passes a message of assurance of victory. He's not yet crucified, but states that he has overcome the world. He basically states one of the greatest prophetic words for me is that he has overcome. And if you were just following the Bible in a sequence, you would not know what that meant. Because you wouldn't, you know, we read the Bible all over the place, so we knew what happened, and now we can read it. But if you didn't know what was going to happen to him and you heard that, you would be thinking, well, what does this mean? Hey? Okay? I hope that makes sense to you. You need to take it in context. All right? Proverbs 24 from verse 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Every time you fall and you get up, you've got a victory. Every time you fall, every time you stumble, every time you make a conscious decision to get up, you've got a victory. It might not seem like much, but it is victory, and we'll go there. The book of Proverbs provides much appropriate insight into the conditions of life and the path of wisdom. We would do well to read and apply and learn from Solomon's wise writings, because many of these things are tucked away. You know, Proverbs is difficult to read. It's not like a book. It's like, you know, I find it funny that it's like 2 sentences at a time. It's very difficult to read it like that. But every now and then you just sit and pick out some words there. It's like so, like, wow. Okay, so what is victory and why would we seek? Why would we need? Why would we pursue? Or why would we desire victory? Ask yourself that question. The need for victory. This is point number one that I'm going to take you through. The need for victory. Man seems to be in need of affirmation and accolades in his fallen nature. That instant thing I was talking about early on. Nowadays, everybody wants to be stroked. Everybody wants to be given acknowledgement. Everybody wants victory without doing anything. But the God-man desires victory to glorify God and usher in the kingdom of God whilst manifesting the gospel of the kingdom. How often do you... I was in the corporate world for 30 years, and I just remember that many moons ago, when I was still young in the corporate world, it's like you always wanted to see what you were getting on your pay slip. What did your overtime? You know, were you going to get a bonus? Were you going to get an increase? Like, boss, when's the increase? You know, how much are they? 5%, 6%, 10%, whatever. And if you didn't get that, it was like, You planned your life around what you were expecting. It didn't even exist yet, but you were already planning. And if you didn't get it, it was like this great loss. And in life today, still, people kind of consider that a victory. That's not. What have you achieved? But there's nothing wrong with it. But the fact that you've got 100, 500, 1,000 bucks more in your pocket, what victory have you achieved? You see the mindset? What I said? The God-man thinks of the victory in Jesus. The fallen man thinks of the victory for the flesh. Okay? And that is why our desires at times are wrong. Okay? So ultimately, we must overcome in this life so that we might rule and reign in the future. It requires major change, a full paradigm shift from what was to what is, and man's reality to God's reality. I said in a teaching I did, I think it was last year, that what you see is not reality. And it puzzled everybody. What you see is, can you see God? Yeah. No, but you know he's by faith. He knows, yeah. This is not God. This is not eternity. This has got no value. So when you see God as being the reality of life and God being truth, suddenly that is where victory is. He says in the word, seek things, your treasures in heaven, not the things here. So when we are going after the victory, when we want and have desires, which I'm going to get into just now, let us start focusing on the things of God. Because that victory carries you to eternity. That victory remains with you, does not fall away. Okay? We must search our hearts and determine our needs. Determine your needs and your choices in life with our life-given destiny, which must unfold here on earth in our God-given purpose. Psalm 34 from verse 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Growth is evidence of victory. Growth, you young people, growth is evidence of victory. Now, I'm talking about physical growth. Growth in maturity, growth in character, and I'm going to test you with a couple of points just now around this. Growth is evidence of victory. So we are called to be victorious in this life in the challenges of daily society. Our character must mature, and we must be renewed to manifest the mind of Christ and to be the royal priesthood we have been chosen to become. Challenges of daily society. Sure, I can't even remember how many times in some of the devotionals I wrote about the challenges of life. Life is a challenge. I mean, it's not easy. About 2-3 weeks ago, those of you that might have seen the prophetic leaders group, we have a online kind of prayer meeting on a Monday night to pray for our nation. It's something the Lord gave me, I don't know, about maybe 2 months ago, and we go through it. Just the challenges we were going through, and I was getting a lot of people want to copy you on messages that say, you know, this is going to happen in our country, and this is going to happen. Then the news lies about things. Then the newspaper says, you know, you're about to fall into a big hole, and, you know, all sorts of nonsense. And it's all, most of it's like fake news as well, or just media that adds to the media storm. But I was praying, and I was crying out before the Lord and saying, Lord, where's this going? Because I love South Africa. I love Africa. You know, I don't want to be anywhere else. I've got a heart for the people of Africa. But we're breaking things down. But that's not where we go and judge things. So I went to the Lord and I was praying. And he said, life on the edge, life on the edge, life on the edge. And I was, Lord, what did you say? He said, first of all, let's start with the fuel price. The pressure that is put onto people because of something like a fuel price. Then you're stuck in traffic for 2 hours a day, wondering if you're going to be on time. Then you're wondering if your land's going to be taken away. Then you're wondering if somebody's going to have a racist attitude towards you. Then you're wondering if we're voting for the right government. Then you're wondering if South Africa's going to go into a war. Then you're wondering this, then you're wondering that. South Africans are under huge pressure, psychological pressure. I mean, my petrol bill never goes up because every time I go to the garage, I put in 200 bucks. So be clever. But yeah. But nowadays it doesn't get you anything. So I haven't used my Absa Petro card or whatever you call it in like, I don't know how long. You know, they renew them and it's a nice, funny, purpley blue one nowadays. Sticks lack in your wallet, but never gets used. So I thought, hey, it's time to use this oak. Not getting into debt. I've got no debt, but I used this. And I said to him, put in 15 liters. Okay, and he was going, and the next thing I saw, 18. I said 15. He said, no, I thought you did 50. I said, first of all, this car only takes about 45, dude. So, but the price was 321 rand. Hey, it's like, that's heavy on a pastor, that a person that relies on faith, you know. Lord, there's a heavy fuel price down here. Send the angels to bring some coin, you know, some heaven's Bitcoin down here. The point I'm trying to make is this. The victory starts in here. If you're going to allow all of those things to subjectively influence you. Yes, they're true. The petrol price is heavy. Yes, our country needs land reform. And maybe they're doing it right. Maybe they're doing it wrong. Let's pray into it. Yeah? I think it was Shani that sent me, I haven't told her this, I think it was today. Little video of Dr. Yom Kitchow. I've heard of him when I was in Little Falls days, but I've never really known much. I think it's the biggest church on earth or whatever. He's in Korea, the old Korea, not the North Korea. And it's about a 20-minute clip. A South African guy goes there, and it's about the prayer. They've got these little prayer grottos built into this prayer mountain. And every hour of every day, there's thousands of people praying. And then he goes down and he says, you know what? 60 years ago, this country was nothing. From the war and everything. In 60 years, it's the fourth biggest economy in the world. Kia, Samsung, all these guys come out of there. And here in South Africa, we, the petrol price, come and land for me. We must get over ourselves. We've had 22, 23 years of freedom. What have we done with it? In other words, in another 39 years, can we compete with Korea? That is what we should ask ourselves. But that is where victory lies, is in the ability to see the future and take the future and pray and say, that is where I'm going. That is what I want in my life. That is what I'm going to hold on to. Not the petrol price or who's going to rule the nation or who's going to take your land or whatever. There's more than enough land in the earth to supply everybody. You know? We look at cars. I don't know why. That's not my notes, but why this is coming up. Cars. You go everywhere. I remember in the first days when I worked in the bank, it was still Trust Bank. I was like, what a terug. That's when Transvaal still played good rugby, or what they call the Lions now or something. Okay? They still do. Yeah, I'm a Lions supporter. They just managed to beat the Blue Bulls the other day. Okay, but the bank vault was built in Heriotdale, which is like towards the East Rand, past Cleveland, past Joburg. And they turned that into the computer center, went off the old Burroughs machines, what they were called then, to the first IBMs. It was a 4-meg machine, it rang the bank's computer system. I mean, 4-meg. How much phone is, data you got on your phone now? I'm serious, 4-meg. But the rooms were bigger than this with all the storage things in it that you unscrewed and going a long time ago. But there's an area there, Jewel Street, and I think On Deckers is becoming the same, and other places. Every second corner, there's 4 garages on every corner. Here's Toyota, and there's Mercedes, and here's a mixture, and here's another mixture. This is stolen, this is legal, and that's new. So you can go shopping. Aggie, where are you? You said when we got here, we spoke about this area and said, you remember many years ago, you could walk around here and go window shopping. Say, Kela ma, Kela pa, Sinda, Sinda, check the area. You know, Friday night out was walking the streets of Krugersdorp or whatever. So there you can go shopping. The point being, coming back to victory and issues, cars are by the dozens. They're just standing, rotting in lots everywhere. And no one's got an issue about that. But talk about land and everybody's got an issue. Where's your victory? What matters to you? That's the point I'm going to move to just now around choice. What matters to you in life and what choices are you making relative to what you are called to be in Christ? Okay? So I'm going into all the car, earth, land issues, whatever, to give you an idea of where our focus is incorrectly being placed. That will steal your time. It will steal your joy. It will upset your choices because you'll go to Mercedes and you'll go to Toyota, you'll go to the stolen cars corner and you'll go to the used car corner and you'll check out your bucks and you'll say, yee, I can't go to Mercedes. Let's go across that side. And because of the petrol price, eventually you land up here by the stolen cars and say, hey, would don't do that, okay? All right. That's not victory. Just steal. All right. So let's move on. James 4:3 says this: you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We ask amiss according to personal agendas. Perhaps one of the signs we do not have the victory whilst we have a need. What really matters to you? What is of value to you? What do you consider is the value 5 years? There's people here that are 10 years old, 15 years old, 20, 30, 50, 80, 100 years old. I don't know, but there's a good spread of people here. What is in your heart of victory for the next 6 months, the next year? What is key to you? Ask the person that woke up this morning with cancer, what is victory to him? Ask the lady who's just given birth and there's a deformity on her child, what is victory to that lady? And yeah, we are healthy and we're complaining about a petrol price or an issue of land. Hey, do you see how small we have become, that we become competitive about issues and things in life that carry no value? It's necessary to have a car. It's necessary to have an increase. It's necessary to have a good job, all that kind of stuff. And I pray that God would bless you abundantly with all the desires of your heart. But make the desires of your heart in line and inclined to what God has for you. And you will walk surely in the victory all the days of your life. All right, so the song of victory. Salvation has become our song. Your rebirth was your first victory. Is anybody here not reborn? Let's have an altar call right now. In other words, is there anyone in this church tonight that has not called upon the name of Jesus and believing in their heart that He is Lord and made them Lord of their lives? If you haven't, come forward tonight. Okay, so this song then is for all of you. It's not a song. I'm going to give you some pointers here. From the day you were reborn, from that day forward, every time you pray, every time you raise your hands in worship, every time you bow your knees, every time you cry out to God, every time you give a blessing, every time you forgive, every time you confess, every step you take forward to work out your salvation with fear and trembling is a step of victory and a step to eternal victory. You see, victory is more than all those other nonsense things that we were speaking about. Every step you take every day, faithful expressions that you decree and declare, use scripture to speak into your soul and to position your mindset in the place of truth. Grow your faith by faithful words declaring the power of truth. I try, and besides the bird that might irritate me in the summer or something like that, I don't jump out of bed and say hallelujah and fall on my knees and start praying. You know, I'm a slow start in the morning. I first got to get my hairdo done. And I don't. Okay. I just normally get up and I sit on the edge of the bed for a minute or two and I just consider life. And when the sun is shining into my bedroom window, and my feet touch the ground, and I have sensitivity of my feet on the ground, I am alive. and the day starts well. That is my first victory. My second one is a cup of coffee. Because from there, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for giving me feet to go to the kitchen to make coffee, okay? The point being, we need to look at what are our blessings. There's, I don't know if it was a song or a book or a poem, it says, count your blessings. You know, the fact that you get up in the morning and you put your feet on that ground and you can go downstairs and smell the coffee is victory in itself. And while it's going, it's like, be glorified, my Lord. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, my Lord. And then the whole neighborhood goes to work because you can't sing. All right. But you praise him. King David penned many psalms expressing the song of victory in his heart, even when he was persecuted, even through his toughest trials in the wilderness, and even in the place of adultery and death. Psalm 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 51, after he had did all the wrong things from verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. That is a man's prayer after he had committed adultery and killed that woman's husband. If you didn't know that, that's some Bible, biblical, am I right, Shirley? No? Yeah, sorry? Okay. The Bible is not in chronological order, the normal way you read it, so sometimes you've got to make sure you get your dates right. Okay. Let's look at Hannah for a moment. Hannah cried out to God for a child. When the victory manifests, she submitted it to God. Give your dreams back to God, and he will give you the blessing of the victories in your life. How many of you have a dream? You can dream at 100 years old. I'm going to preach in this church when I'm still 95, and that's like 40 years from now. Hey? I'm going to. I hope you're going to be here. You guys are going to be here. You guys will definitely be here. You'll look like me then. You're going to have a bit gray. All right, let's move on. So Hannah cried out to God for a child. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. The sound of victory, the spirit realm hears our words, and God knows our thoughts. Listen to this point that I'm going to share with you now. The spirit realm hears everything. God knows your thoughts. So there is nothing hidden. Nothing hidden, okay? The world is watching and observes our expressions. How much more the realm of the spirit where the enemy wants to defeat God's children? In Ephesians 4 from verse 23, it said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Psalm 119, intense psalm. I was reading it again this morning for the study that I'm doing. But there it says, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Every thought, every word. You know, I see people even this afternoon again, and it's my pet subject. Oak's on his phone, through a red robot, down a yellow line, cuts across two a solid white lines near Hendrik Potgieter, and those are typically the guys running companies, and they are complaining about the crime in the nation or the government or whatever. But what has he just done? You are the example and expression of who you really are. And I'm saying to you tonight as a prophetic voice, if you're driving through red robots, if you're lying on your tax system, if you're cheating on anybody in your family, if you're driving across yellow lines or things like that, you are guilty. If you steal 1 rand or 1 million rand, you're a thief. There's nothing that says if I kill a person with a knife, if I kill them with a shotgun, it's less or more murder. You see the principles that come into play about our behavior and what we do, and the spirit realm is watching. Then calamity comes to our house. You lose the victory, and you want to know why. You're playing with the devil. You can't put lipstick on him and tell him he's beautiful. Ouch. Yeah. All right. Where are we? There should be a continual buzzing in our hearts, fueled by our spirit, refreshed by a Holy Spirit that shouts the truth. I am more than a conqueror. How many of you go that far every day? That you take the word of God and you just go and you clap a tree or kick not your dog but a ball or something. You say, I am more than a conqueror. Just do it. I'm going to do it. Push yourself. Push yourself. Push yourself. Push yourself. Push yourself. A while ago, I'm going to share something with you. I just feel that the unction of the Spirit is suddenly changing. It's like, you know, so maybe I'm going to stop and just quench some fire. I really went through some things this year. Some people that know me, some of them are here, know there's quite a lot that happened, and it was distraction. And maybe I'll share that with you just now, but my prayer life was being affected, and I've got an awesome prayer life. I'm not great. I'm just Mark. But if I don't have my good time of prayer, I wobble. I have to have time with my Father. I have to have time in the spirit realm. As a prophetic voice, I need to know I'm hearing as well. And when that is going cuckoo by that bird in the tree or whatever, then I can't come and minister and say, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because then I'm unsure if I'm hearing God correctly. I need to know 100% that what I'm bringing to you tonight, I've heard God and that I'm speaking truly. But I went and I took, I don't wear a watch, but somebody gave me one in the prophetic leaders meetings earlier this year. Barnty's dad. Or last year. Big poppin' thing like this. Yeah, my arms are quite thin. It's like, walk like this. With this watch on, and tick, 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 tick in the middle line, so I stopped wearing it, but it's a beautiful watch. So I put it down there, and I'm, no, but, no, and I check the watch, 2 minutes past. 3 minutes, my goodness, does prayer take that long? But I conditioned myself, I used to pray 2-3 hours like this. For me, that was a beginning, a start, and I'm not boasting. Where I grew up spiritually in Little Falls, the leader of that house is a prayer man. And I learned from that man to pray. You know, Saturday morning, Sunday, morning and night before the services. So I spent 3 hours in LFC in prayer on a weekend. Some don't even spend that in a week. Okay, and then it was still Tuesday night at cell group, Wednesday, Thursday night. 3 years I was in their Bible college and I used to pray with the students before. So I had a big prayer life, but it was him and I had that unction. But suddenly went wrong this year. I got distracted. So I put this watch down and I started challenging myself. Just push every morning. Get to 15 minutes. Get to 15 minutes. Now don't laugh. 15 minutes is not long, eh? Serious? It's not. Not if you, please, don't judge yourself by how long you pray. Judge yourself by your relationship with God, okay? But I had to push. The point I'm trying to make is I was not walking in the victory because my prayer life had been stolen because my joy was gone. So I had to put a watch down and I started watching that watch until I could get to the breakthrough point of 15 minutes solid praying in tongues. I'd been doing it for 11 years. I've been saved 12. And suddenly this year everything went wrong. You start the basics again. But right now, I am on fire. Don't come into my house because I will pray you right out of your pants down the street back into your home without you even knowing where you're going. But the point is, push, push, push. That 2 minute became 3 minutes. 3 minutes became five. Five became 10. 10 became 15. And it suddenly was, yay, I went 15 minutes. It felt like the whole day. And then it was only like 7:30. Okay, what am I going to do now, Lord? Pray again. All right. The evidence of victory. Let me just go back a bit here. That life and death is in the power of the tongue. There where I said to you, the spirit realm is listening. What are you saying? What are you saying? The evidence of victory starts here and will come out here. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Depending on which version you read, but essentially, so what is your heart condition? You might be very healthy physically, but your heart, in your spiritual heart, is all mucked up. Why? because of distraction, because you can't keep pushing, because you're worried about the promotion, you're worried about that car in that corner. All right, the evidence of victory. Lifestyle, the expression of our lifestyle, our behavior, our values and morals must be that of an unshakable kingdom, a principled purpose, protocol and honor, giving generously, blessing not cursing, praying, seeking, finding, living the full identity of a God child, putting on the full armor of God and resisting the devil. Thankfulness is an attitude, a daily commitment to the King. If you can't say something good, rather keep quiet. Because you will determine the wealth of your prosperity in your future by what you say today. And some people don't watch what they say. And 3 years down the line, something happens, and you forgot that the devil was watching you 3 years ago. No credit to him, but he's been around longer than all of you. If you didn't know that, then you're not reading your Bible. Okay. All right. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus says, John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. If you want your joy back, begin to ask. I had to ask the Lord not to make that watch go faster. I had to ask him to sustain me in prayer. It's like I just lost it. You kind of get on your knee and you're like, 11 years of a prayer life, boom, in 6 months was gone. And that wasn't by choice. I'll share this with you, then I'll go through the rest quickly. You need to just grasp this, and maybe it's a voice in your heart, in your soul tonight to get you to that place of victory. The Lord showed me when I was going through all this, before this whole thing happened a week or two ago, but he showed me that I was being distracted. He said to me the one morning, Mark, he said, distraction versus sin. He says, you can sin and still get to your destiny. You get distracted, you won't get to your destiny. We also, ooh, about sin. He said, God said to me, you can sin and still make your destiny. I'm not saying sin is good. The thing is, you can go and repent and ask forgiveness and go on, you'll still get there. But if you think you're living right and you are distracted by Jezebels and liars and issues of life and things that come against you, and you're fighting off all of that instead of focusing on God, you lose your victory. And before you know it, my pastor said many years ago, he was a pilot, part-time, but he said, if you take off from an airport and you an nth of a degree off course, you will never get to your destination. If you are being distracted an nth of a degree in your purpose to be victorious, you won't get there. Because as you journey, it's like, woo, and the goal is there, you will miss it. So remember that distraction and sin, the limits to victory. Memory of sin, the Lord showed me this, reminded me of this the other night. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It was one night I was serving in Spirit Life Ministry a few years ago, and I sat there, and a lady past the niece was speaking, and the Lord said to me, memory of sin. And I was like, huh? I started writing. I didn't know what it meant, because you won't know what something means until God reveals it to you. So I wrote this stuff down, and a day or two later, I was praying it through. And he said, you've got the memory of sin all over you. But I'm washed in the blood. Yes, you are, but you're a physical being. You're a spiritual being, but you're in a physical environment. Your subconscious carries the weight of your past sin. Unless you deal with it continuously. That doesn't mean you go and ask for forgiveness for the same thing over and over. But your subconscious, you've got a memory bank. Remember in heaven, the guy in Abraham's bosom, Lazarus, says, he's in heaven. But the other guy, he says, go and tell my family. Remember he asked for, bring some water. Okay? That shows us that our memory is still active. From when he was on earth, he could still remember. And he was in Abraham's bosom, the one guy. The other guy was in hell. Your memory was still active. Whatever has happened to you in life is written onto the DNA of your subconscious. And many people forget that the habits and patterns you fall into are stuck away in memory, and you're calling them back up. You're calling them back up. You've got issues. Oh, my wife left me. My dog bit me. That oak cheated me. I didn't get promotion. And those are the things that keep coming up into your spirit, man, and you can't manifest the victory. Why? Because you're going over and over and over and over in the memory of sin, and instead of letting it go. Some people ask for forgiveness. God forgives it, but they don't. They hold on to it. All right, so the limits to victory is the memory of sin. You are a new creation. The devil will instill the doubt at every opportunity. We must resist the devil, and he will flee. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. Where there is proof of illegitimacy, legal right, shame, unforgiveness, doubt, unbelief, practice of past evidences, subconscious manifestation, mind renewal has not happened, or faith has come short through works. Those are all things that will keep you from victory, because it's reminders telling you that the devil's telling you through that subconscious that you are not good enough. The power of choice. Who does God say you are, and who do you believe you are? Are we in agreement with the identity I have in Christ? Every day we are challenged by choice, that reasoning versus revelation. If we are going to analyze and reason through life, we cannot walk in the victory. We cannot walk in the victory. We need to get to a point where you can't live only by revelation. But if you are determined to spend time with God and listen to His Word and listen to the Spirit of God, you will get to a place where you will know the difference. Is it your reasoning to buy this car, or is it God's revelation to tell you to buy that car because you're going to get a job that you're going to need that car for? You know, I jokingly said to people several times, if you're going to do missions work in Zambia, why is God going to give you a Lamborghini? You can't drive the roads there with a Lamborghini. Okay, so how are you going to put all the food parcels in that you must go and deliver? So be realistic, and that is the revelation. God will buy you a bucky, and you're like, hey, ek soek nie bucky nie. No, this is not good enough. Lord, can you check my lacquer threads, eh? I've got Carducci and Pierre Cardin and all the Tommy Jones or whoever he is in Woolworths nowadays, Bob Jones, Tom Jones, Quiz Jones. Clothes, everything is this Jones oak. I wonder who he is. He probably doesn't exist. It says made in China, made in Thailand, made in... So they've got a Bob Jones in every one of those countries. I don't know. So who do you see yourself to be in God? Philippians 4 from verse 6, we know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Victory manifests through an undivided heart, and an undivided heart has its mind set on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. An undivided heart, okay? And I'll show you, you sent me a message. Thanks, Kirsty. I sent you this. And I thought, did you know? When we manifest the truth, we attract victory. Keep that in here. When you manifest the truth, that is that reality I said to you, this is not reality. Reality is where God is. Who God is, what God is, when God is, how God is, that is reality. When you set your mind on that, you get a glimpse of the future, you get the glimpse of the trueness, and that is when you attract the victory. The true victory that will take you places, that will change your life, that will set you up for destiny. Just remember, you're going to live forever. I hope you realize that. If you don't, oi, then you must come tonight for serious prayer. We'll have to deliver you from a short-lived mindset. You need to... Sorry, no disrespect to anybody, but there's people out there preaching that the world's going to end. Please come and show me a Bible that tells me the world comes to an end. There's no big bang and everything disappears and we're like little spirits floating around the air. Serious, we must get real. Now go read. I'm not being facetious. I'm being real. There's nowhere in the Bible do I read that, yes, there's a new heavens and da-da-da eventually. But the point is, before that, there's a millennium reign time. That's 1,000 years. Okay? So where are you going to be in that time? And that hasn't started yet. That's 1,000 years. So you're going to get very old. And if you're not here, you're going to come back here. And if you are here, you're going to stay here. I'm serious. Victory is all the way. That's why I said at the beginning, a war has battles. All the battles are points to victory to get to that, finish that war. And we'll go there now as we start closing off, okay? The promised land speaks of our place of victory. We are to go in and what? Possess the land. It took a long road with many battles and suffering for Israel to reach the promised land. Many were not allowed in because of what? Unbelief, hardness of heart, disobedience, not trusting God. I don't want to read it all, but shortly in Joshua 1 from verse 6. Key words, be strong and of good courage. Inheritance the land. Only be strong and very courageous. It to the right hand, don't turn from the word of God to the right hand and the left, that you may prosper. Meditate on his word day and night, that you may observe according to all that is written. Your way will be prosperous. You will have good success. Don't be dismayed. God is with you. That is a summary of those 3-4 verses. If you take that scripture alone and sit in your prayer time and highlight those pieces and just repeat that to yourself, you will build up your soul. Because in that there is no loss, but the Lord says you need to go in and possess the land. He doesn't say like, flate, flate, my story is eight, here I come, it's mine. You know, we pray that thing, every place where I put my feet is mine. And then the first devil comes up and says, hey, and you're like, ooh. So what did you just do? What did you just do? You just went from God's reality to man's reality again. Okay? Possess means possess. It doesn't say give up the land, go in, and when a burglar comes to your house, say, ooh, I'm going to sell my house because it's burgled. You say, no. This is my portion. Two people told me about that place across the road. I'm serious. I will go there one evening or one day, and I will anoint that place, and I will chase every flippin' thing that thinks it's a devil, or maybe it's confused, out of there, that people, when they walk past that stripe that enters the door, they will be convicted, or they will run away because of the presence of God in that place. In fact, we'll pray that it comes and pulls down, and whoever needs to get that land will get that land in a redeemed fashion, and they'll do something good with that land. Because at the moment, it's just standing there. It's not being possessed by any authority. That's why anything has a right to go in there. Okay, so that is the promised land. We see the emergence of Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Go and read that story. That's our men's day, the gift that's based on. Gideon was hiding away. Are you hiding away from your victory? Do you know that they wanted to make him king? He was hiding away in a straw mill thing where the oxen go around and the threshing floor, whatever you call it. I don't even know how those things work, but where they all the wheat or the corn or whatever the case is. And the angel of the Lord said to him, you mighty man of valor. He's like, hey, who, me? Has God maybe told you in a dream, in a vision, in something, that you are a woman of substance, a man of valor, and you're not taking the mantle? You have to put on that mantle that God has got for you. In the spirit realm, they can't only hear you and see you, they see the rank you carry. It becomes clear. You can't see it here, but every, like a soldier, you got camo brookies on you. Okay, brookies are for girls, whatever, sorry, but you got camo on there. When soldiers wear their rank, they've got their insignia on. Many of us Christians don't understand that in the spirit realm, you are carrying the mantle, the rank, and signage of who and where you fit into God's kingdom. And you've got to live according to that. Otherwise, the devil says, okay, I see you a general in God's kingdom, but you are walking like a Mickey Mouse. So, what happens? Because if you are walking in the way that you must, I'm not going there. Don't fight with that one. That one knows. I asked you just now, do you know your identity in Christ? Do you agree with what He says and who He says you are? You can't have a divided heart. I just told you that victory comes from an undivided heart. Okay? So, our last 2 points, the Alpha and the Omega, as it is written. I want you to just look at these 2 points carefully. I've got a spare set of notes here, Pastor Keith, which I'll give to you, but I'll email them to you if your people want them. So you can take the points and look through them. You won't, fortunately, have to read my handwriting because it's typed and printed. So it is absolutely, purely, well legible. Is that like good English? No, oh dear. Yeah, the guys are going to edit my devotional books are going to. They said 20 cents to 35 cents. Is that the going rate to edit? And I was like, hey, moet je gaan bezig wees. You go to. And I did well at school at English, but I promise you, when the anointing comes on you, English is this. Because my handwriting's gone all funny. And I promise you, when I was in the corporate world, I could type, I never make a mistake. Nowadays, it's like, what did you just? I'm serious. It's, you know why? Watch yourself. It's because your spirit accelerates from your physical. You say, hey, come terug. Come back. Don't leave me behind. Okay? I'm not joking. It's serious. It's fun. But it's kind of weird sometimes because I never used to use spell check. Now I use it quite often. The Alpha and the Omega. Let's go back to the beginning and understand everything in context. In the beginning, let's go to Genesis. There was creation, there was dominion, all was good, purpose prevailed, and communion between God and man was regular and uninterrupted. That is what my Bible teaches me. Okay? So it was, let's call it, was a perfect world. But man fell through choice. Okay? Through intimidation, he received the counterfeit, and he became out of touch with God. He came out of touch with who he really was. But then the gospel of Christ, Jesus came to restore that which was lost. He manifests victory for all who would receive him. He is the resurrection and the life. We then move on to Revelation in the Bible and says everything will be back in its original place. The counterfeit will be removed and truth shall prevail. Crowns are even waiting for those who overcome. And that word, remember right at the start, I said to you, be very cautious of that word. Jesus said, I have overcome. He prophesied that. Okay? It's not a prophetic statement or something, but if you look at it, he was speaking about who he was, and you need to speak about who you was because you are and you are going to be. Did you catch that? You must speak who you was because you're going to be. You are the same person in God all the time. Your spirit man. He's ordained you for a readiness, a purpose, prepared you, whatever. The Bible says he ordained, he justified, he sanctified, all those things. There's a process. God knows the end from the beginning, so he knew who was going to receive the blood, so he knows all of those things. Okay? Revelation has been written. The Bible's not going to be written again, so we're not going to go back and find out these things in a different way. The truth is in you, and it is completely written. And this is the only version of that truth. Okay? So Revelation says everything will be back in its original place. So point number 10 is the ultimate victory. Revelation 21 from verse 1 to 7 says this. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Notice, said a new Jerusalem, but also a new heaven and a new earth. A lot of people focus on just new Jerusalem. They forget about all the other good. At this point in time, there's newness. Not before that. So there's no end of the world because the millennial reign still has to happen. And then there has to be judgment, all these things, okay? But let's go here and finish. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Do you thirst for victory? Victory is in him. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, daughter, child, whatever translation you're in. So the ultimate victory is salvation, where there is no more tear, no more fighting, no more disease, no more loss, no more enemy, no more anxiety, no more fear, and the battles are over and the war is won. Remember I started off saying battles, war? Now the battles are done and the war is won. Jesus said, O death, where is your sting? On the cross, he said, it is finished. The truth spoken on the cross becomes the final prophetic victory of all mankind. That word, it is finished, is a sign to you and I that every form of thing that needed to be conquered is finally conquered. Every single battle is completed, and now the war is done. And on the cross, he said, prophetically, this has been done. Now, all you and I have to do is we need to go to the cross. If this is the cross, don't stand here and look up at Jesus and pray to him because he's not on the cross. Go beyond into your future. Your future's not this side of the cross. Your future's that side of the cross. Okay? Some people stand at the cross and cry. He's not on the cross. He is risen. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you are where he is. So you are in this life. You are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That is where the victory is. And I'll close. That is the final word I had. But I just want to ask you a few questions before I close. Victory is a journey. Is a journey just as is salvation. It is here and now, and it is for all who will receive him. Believe in their hearts and confess with their tongues that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may start your chung 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 if you like, please. What battles have you lost in life? What loss occurred because of that battle? What was done to you that the blood cannot fix? Okay, ask yourself, what has happened to you that the blood cannot fix? What are you holding on to which is false hope? That subconscious memory I was speaking about. What is it that you are holding on to? You know, the Lord blessed me. I think it was in the first year that I was saved, which means I was divorced 3 years. Then I got saved, more or less, okay? Like I said early on, I was never at school with math and all that. But I was going to go and play a golf corporate day in Centurion or Woodhill, one of those awesome places. And as I was driving and I took that Club View corner off ramp, he said to me, phone Monica and ask for forgiveness. I was out of touch a long, long time already. That was my ex-wife's name. But I had such peace that I just, those were those early funny blue Nokia cell phones or whatever. Hello, this is a brick. If you want to fight with me, I'll hoy my phone at you, you know. You needed like an extra bag to carry the phone. But I phoned her and I said, listen, God told me to phone you. And there was absolute dead silence on the other side of the phone. No disrespect to her, but she's quite a difficult German. Okay. A lot of German people are difficult. It's just they're different. Not in a bad way. They just, you know, there's cultures and things in life. And was maybe 2-3 minutes on the phone, and maybe the Lord just speak to you right now. What is holding you back? You know what we've gone through, and there's more I've got in there, but time has caught me. And I've got so much that I would like to share with you. I haven't ministered in a church in quite a while. So I'm like bubbling. I could keep you here till tomorrow morning, because I said to, also, I think Johnny on the phone today, that when you prepare for something like this, you know what, and you really get in, your spirit begins accelerating. And you just start seeing things in the spirit about here, about this area. Some I'll share with you, some I won't share with you. About your own life. You know, Pastor Keith, when he prayed for me, they anointed me, he said, you're going in a new season and you're stepping up, or whatever you said. And I was like, boom! Because he just confessed what was going through my life this week, and I know it's going to happen. And it's big. I'm excited, because there's like a pile of victories coming my way. But it took the past 9 months of fighting and attacks. You know, like Jezebel took out Samson or Delilah, whatever. That's what I went through this year. And let me tell you something. I can't give you the details. Pastor Keith knows. I shared it with him last week when we met. One or two other people, the other are my friends now. But I promise you, it was the extent to take me out. When people want to slander you publicly in a way that will literally end your life, then you must know things are getting serious. But I also knew yesterday afternoon in my garden when I was praying that if I did not forgive and let go, I wouldn't be standing in this place of victory. So coming back to that call, dead silence on the other side, and I just spoke my heart. And you know what? I walked onto that golf course, and I was pretty good, but that day I was better. There was freedom. Words of your mouth, the meditation of your heart. God had brought me to a place and time, said, let go. And I wasn't a person, I'm a person that forgives quickly. But at that point in time, I was probably a year, not even a year saved. And I didn't understand all these spiritual realities in life that you've got to watch out about, and the hooks in your soul and all those kind of things. To me, everything that mattered was just Jesus. You know, if you told me anything else, I would have just said Jesus. So ask yourself, maybe as that sound goes there, and I'd like to maybe just share a word or pray with you. I don't want to keep you long, Pastor Keith said that, you know, tomorrow morning you've got a breakfast. Sunday morning we'll be here. I'll come and listen to the big man speak. But just to come honor you, because I want to honor you people as well. It's been a privilege to be here. Really, it's my spirit man is pumping. There's so much, guys. And like I said at the start of this, what have we done? We've made the word victory a one-dimensional thing. We've made it about competition, about illegitimacy, about all sorts of things. Am I better than my neighbor? Can I achieve that job? All that. Yes, life is good. Life is beautiful. But remember what I said to you earlier on. When you feel your feet on the floor in the morning, if you're 5, 10, 20 years old, or 100 years old, you've got a victory. Think of the lady that's lying in a ward tonight with all sorts of plugs and things in her body in the hospital. Go and have a look sometimes. It was a few years ago, I used to pray a lot in Flora Clinic. And you look at that and you don't even see a person there. There's just cords and things. I know Pastor Keith's sister passed away in this year. My brother in this year as well from cancer. And we can stick to that month or time. Yes, we mourn and we it's difficult because they meant things in our lives and all that, but right now I'm going to keep quiet for a minute, and I want you to check yourself, not because of me. I'm unimportant. This is almost going to be like an altar call. If you want to walk in the victory this weekend, it's not about attending church. It is about a heart condition of your spirit is embracing what is waiting for you. And I promise you one thing I have seen in the spirit for myself is that many people don't see the treasure that is right in front of their eyes daily. Christ in you, the hope of glory, He's got so much for you. Not in rands and cents or lower petrol prices or land issues or whatever. You are called to rule and reign in eternity. And if you cannot understand that identity, you can't have the victory. Because victory doesn't come just by thinking about it. Faith with works manifests things. You can have as much faith as you want to. Go stand in the garage for the next 100 years and have faith and see if you come out a car. I promise you, you're still going to be a human being. But if you have works and you get some plastic surgeons, I'm done this last point here. Yeah, I wrote to come to the altar. Let's pray these things away and embrace victory. I made a note today, Pastor Keith, and we can do it Sunday or tonight, but I believe the Lord said, yeah, as it passed the Keith's leadership to you. This is pencil, it's not on the notes there. To be accelerated and empowered to complete the work that He has given you as a team. I will share this much with you at this moment in time. It's the first night of this. And also just so that things can sink in. You are in a time of acceleration. We have a very different perception about acceleration, though, because we tie it to speed, we tie it to velocity, we tie it to time. Remember, God is outside of time, He's outside of movement, He's outside of matter. So when we look at acceleration from a God point of view, He's busy nudging you, He's standing at your back and He's pushing you along. Not because we're unable to, He's just giving that extra push. That extra push to get going. And you're going to come to a time very soon, says the Lord, where the momentum is going to flow smoothly. And I will bring you to a place and a point in time, you and yours, the household of this faith, where that acceleration will add to numbers. And people will be attracted by the Spirit back to this. If you thought the former house was glorious, you have not seen what is coming, says the Lord. But remember that the battles have to be won to win the war. So this doesn't mean sometimes we take prophetic words and we think that, you know, within 3 months, oh, we're going to have another 200 people here and we do things. No. But in your lifetime, you will see it. Remember, we position things for the future. So if you are a member of this church, that word that I've given to Pastor Keith is for all of you. And all of you are fighting this battle. Some of you on your knees. Some of you with finances. Some of you with illness and disease and other things that you are going through. But we are all in this together. And what I wanted to say about that gift is I wanted to say to you, my brother, that we are in this battle together. That me and my household, the spiritual team that I have and what is going to happen in my life, we will be there for you. We will be warring with you. We will be warring for you. Because we are not a church at this point in time, but we are part of the church. And you need to know that that package, part of it, is to say we honor what you are going through, what you have done, and to keep going in the sight of everything else collapsing, that you would stand up and be counted. All right. There's a prayer here. I don't know if I should read it. I wrote it out this afternoon when I was praying. I can. It'll probably take me a minute. So bow your heads, please, and think about that for a minute, and then we're going to go into prayer, and we're going to close because it's going on towards 9 o'clock, and I think we kind of want to finish around then. Pastor Keith is saying if it is time, it's 10 to 9. So if you have, let's start with false hope. If you sat in a place in time in your life and something happened to you that has caused you never to hope in a better future again, I want you to stand. In other words, if you believe there's no hope for you, if you are in a place that you're thinking, you know what, God's forgotten about you, or that you are just so lost without your ex-husband, ex-wife, your dog, your money, your promotion, your whatever, that you're not living in hope, then I want to pray for you. While you're thinking about it, I'm going to read the next thing, and I'm also going to give Pastor Keith the introduction of this prayer time, or this prayer that I wrote, which I'll type up and send to you. It was for all the people, but I can read it on Sunday or whenever as well. Father, as your servant, I pray in Jesus' name, as we lay hands on your children tonight and over this weekend, that the spirit realm and the enemy agents will know that their time of causing loss, limitations, lies in these people's lives is over. We declare the victory in Jesus' name. We decree and pray that no weapon formed in action, script, word, or deed shall prosper against them. We declare that every intention and agenda to keep these people trapped outside their victory realm is broken, exposed, nullified in Jesus' name. And Father, by your blessing, they begin to walk victoriously in this life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and psychologically, and encounter favorful patterns of victory by the grace, mercy, and love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray and decree that every spirit of heaviness be replaced by a garment of praise, and that every tormenting tone of their soul be replaced by the presence of the love of the Father in Jesus' name.